بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who through His grace and mercy has allowed us to begin with Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah of the Holy Quran, a surah that was revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who was known as Ra'is al-Mufassirin, the leaders of the commentators of the Holy Quran, says that when Surah Al-An'am was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unlike every other surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down 70,000 angels. And these angels came down taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, singing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this manner, Surah Al-An'am was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like every other surah in the Holy Quran, rather like every other line, every word of the Holy Quran, there are great lessons that can be extracted, great knowledge that can be learnt. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His system of respite, His great tolerance, and His system of divine punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. That we sent many messengers to the nations of the past. And then as a means of testing them, we cause them to suffer some hardship, some difficulty, some poverty. And this was so that they could turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek His assistance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they continued to disobey Him. They did not turn back to Him. So, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is such that when He tests a person and the person continues with disobedience, Allah says when they forgot the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, then Allah says, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That we opened up the doors of luxury and opulence to them. We gave them everything of this world, comforts, wealth, good health, lengthy lives. We gave them the best of the best. And then Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. That when they were lulled into a false sense of security, that now we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet He continues to give us. We continue to enjoy and eat from His bounties. Allah says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. That suddenly we snatch them and seize them. And we punish them in such a way, فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. If we have to look at the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it came to the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah destroyed them completely with a single flood. When it came to the Qawm-i Aad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them such a storm, so severe and so violent that all of them lost their lives and passed away. When it came to Qawm-i Thamud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with a terrific screech, a sound so horrific and terrifying that all of them lost their lives. When it came to Qawm-i Lut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted them up and capsized them into the ground, so much so that to this day, if a person goes to Jordan, to the Dead Sea, he will find the effects of the adab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to this extent that no life can be found in that sea also. So this is something for us to take lesson from, for us to introspect. If we ask our grandparents and great-grandparents, the amount of sacrifice and difficulty that they lived through, sometimes two or three families under one house, under one roof, and father, mother and children standing in the shop from morning to evening, the income was very minimal, yet every morning that house was filled with the recitation of the Holy Quran. The masjid was full. People had respect. They obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us look at our situation in today's time. What aren't we enjoying? The bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One house, two or three vehicles. The income has raised. People are educated. Yet, what is our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we should not be lulled into this false sense of security, that this country of ours has been given so many favors, everything is peaceful, we are allowed to practice deen as we wish, there is no restrictions placed upon us. It should not be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us respite, tolerating us, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches us and punishes us, and then there is no one for us to turn to. Moving on in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the concept of tawheed. And tawheed is not only belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, belief in the sifat, the qualities, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is none like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in His being, but in every single quality of Allah's. Allah says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. Allah speaks of His quality of ilm and knowledge. Allah says that the keys of the unseen, the treasures of the unseen belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it belongs to Him alone. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. لَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا وَلَا جَبَلٌ مَا فِي وَعْرِهِ وَلَا بَحْرٌ مَا فِي قَعْرِهِ. That one sky does not conceal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which is beneath it. One level of earth does not conceal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which is beneath it. Allah knows what happens at the top of the mountain peaks. He knows what happens in the depths of the ocean. Allah's knowledge is like nobody else's knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His quality of power, His qudrat, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. That He is the all-dominant, the all-powerful above His slaves. Mufti Shafi'i Sahib rahimahullah says that if a person ponders over these two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's all-encompassing knowledge and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and dominance, he says it will become very, very difficult for a person to commit any act of disobedience. Because a person will realize that whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I think, there is a being above me that knows of it. Before it even happens, he knows of it. But not only this, he has the ability to take me to task for it. Therefore, if a person keeps these two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him, the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every step I take, every action I make, every word I speak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. And it is only one nerve that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to pull, and a person can wake up completely crippled. His legs won't be able to work. His hands won't be able to work. He may not be able to speak. He may be brain dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. And therefore, towards the end of the seventh para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about a principle that we can apply in our daily lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to preach the message of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, as was expected, the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah became very angry. They became very upset. And after some time had passed, they went to Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they requested Abu Talib to intercede on their behalf and to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stop preaching the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stop humiliating and degrading and disgracing the idols that they used to worship at that time. So Abu Talib convened a meeting between the Quraysh and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here they put this proposal forward to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you stop degrading and disgracing our idols, we will leave you and your Allah alone, and we will allow you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secrecy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, did not accept this. And he said to them that, why don't you recite a kalima by virtue of which you will become the leaders of the entire world? And this kalima is La ilaha illallah, that there is only one deity, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, who were power hungry and who wanted to maintain the stronghold that they had over the Arabian Peninsula, they refused to accept this. And therefore, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you continue to degrade our idols, in turn we will now start to degrade and disgrace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That do not speak ill of the idols of the mushrikeen. Why? So that they in turn do not speak ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from here Mufassirin explain a very important principle, that there may be an action which in essence is permissible, is a good action, but it may lead to and result in something that is haram, that is impermissible. And therefore, a person should abstain from this. In one example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he told Sahaba radiallahu anhum that do not swear your parents. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, of course, were taken aback. They said, oh Rasul of Allah, how is it possible that any person swears his parents or speaks ill of his parents? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you may be in an argument with somebody and you hurl abuse at his parents, which causes him to in turn hurl abuse at your parents. Therefore, you become a cause for your parents' honor being degraded. So do not do this. In another example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Aisha radiallahu anha, that prior to the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Kaaba had become old and the walls had fallen, and therefore the Quraysh decided to rebuild the Kaaba. But they took a pact that they will only use halal wealth. And therefore, after building part of the Kaabatullah, they found that their wealth had now depleted, their resources had run out. And what is today known as the Hatim, which was supposed to be part of the Kaaba, They did not have enough funds to include this in the Baytullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, that if I could, then I would rebuild the Kaaba and I would include the Hatim in the original building. However, what is stopping me from this? He says that your people, the people of Makkah Mukarrama, have just accepted Islam a short while ago. And I fear that due to them being new in Islam, if I have to do this, they will in turn turn away from Islam. They will start saying that I have introduced something new. I have broken the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, I will abstain from this. So this is a good deed, rebuilding the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But out of fear that it will lead to something evil, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed away from this. To this extent, ulama write that if a person has a child who is disobedient, then he should not demand unnecessary service, khidmat from the child, for fear that the child will in turn be disobedient, he will not listen, he may speak ill against his father, and therefore he will earn himself sin, he will fall into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we should be very careful that when it comes to certain acts of righteousness, whether it be amongst our family members, people who have just come onto deen, people who are new to the masjid, new to lectures and talks and advices, we should not be too hard upon them. Rather treat them with kindness, take it easy and slow with them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually open up the way. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.